Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
The HSE are strongly urging people who haven't yet received a primary COVID-19 vaccine to attend any of their walk-in clinics for dose 1 or dose 2 of the vaccine, or to register for an appointment. And this comes as the HSE are inviting people who are aged 50 years and older to make an appointment for their next booster dose. And recent figures also show there's been a marked reduction in the number of booster vaccines being taken by eligible people compared with the first round of additional doses. And joining me now in the studio to discuss this further is Eileen Whelan, who is the HSE's national lead for the COVID-19 test and trace and vaccination programme. Eileen, you're very welcome. Thank you for being here. First of all, people aged 50 and over, they're just one of a number of groups now that you're asking to come forward and make appointments. Maybe you might explain who's eligible and for what.
Okay, so NIAC regularly updates their advice in relation to who's eligible for their vaccinations. And at the minute, people 50 and over are coming forward for vaccination. From next week, from early September, people from 12 to 49 who have underlying medical conditions will be eligible to come forward for their vaccination, as will healthcare workers in that group and pregnant women who are more than 16 weeks pregnant. Okay. From early October, anybody who's over 65 will be able to access both their COVID-19 vaccination and their flu vaccination. And they will be able to get that at a number of areas, either their GP, their pharmacy, or potentially come to a central vaccination.
Okay, I suppose it's a little confusing for people now because people are at different stages of the booster rounds. How is all that being managed from your point of view?
Okay, so there's a lot of opportunity for people to come forward. We're going to update our communication. So since August, people in the 50 to 64 age group have been able to access vaccination. That's the cohort that we're facing and focusing on at the minute. As we announce, as we are opening up the eligibility for the new cohorts, we will update our communication and we will make sure everybody who's eligible is getting the right information.
And how would people check whether they're up to date, whether they should be coming forward? Where do they get that information from?
So once you've had your prior vaccination and there's a 4 month and there's a 4 month time frame between your previous vaccination and the new announcement, you will be eligible for your next vaccination. So 4 months is the time frame. People who are very high risk or a very special group, a cohort of people, can come forward within a 3 month time frame. But for the majority of people, once you're post an infection or once you're post your vaccination, you're eligible for your next vaccination within 4 months.
So it's important for us all to remember when we got the booster so that we can time that ourselves.
Yes, but most people will recall the majority of the boosters happened in December 2021 and into January 2022. So most people now are going to be eligible for their next booster.
Okay.
We will strongly encourage people to come forward for their vaccination once we announce the cohort. And the reason that we're doing that is the World Health Organization have indicated concern that there's a risk of high rates of infection this autumn winter. And they're concerned about that because of waning immunity. And they're looking at that across the world. So waning immunity, but also increased travel, increased movement across society. And it's really important that when people are eligible for their vaccination, they come forward because of the waning immunity.
And are you seeing that people are a little more lax now about coming forward for their booster?
So we look at the data on a weekly basis and we have noticed that the 65 to 69 age group, that there's a lower uptake in that age group. So we would continue to encourage that age group to come forward. We did notice last week there was a small upswing. Once we announced the new cohorts, people within that age group are continuing to come forward. But we would encourage people. It is your best protection and it protects against transmission of the virus, but most importantly, it protects against the severity of illness. And that's our key concern. We want to avoid people becoming severely ill, avoid hospitalizations that technically are unnecessary hospitalizations, because if people get the vaccine, that gives the protection. And we also want to avoid unnecessary intensive care admissions due to the severity of illness.
Because people feel, you know, many people feel, I know some people don't, but some people feel that COVID is over. It's gone. We've been through it. We're vaccinated and we're done.
Okay, so we will be guided by the World Health Organization guidance, and they're concerned in relation to this autumn and winter, and they're concerned about the increased infections this autumn and winter. We're also concerned in relation to maybe a false sense of confidence that COVID is gone, because COVID is out there in the community and it's endemic. Also, there's potential for new variants coming on board, so we do want people to have the maximum protection that they can have. And it's really important that people get their vaccines early, that they maintain up to date in relation to their vaccination status. And we do know know also from serosurveillance data that people over 50, the majority of those people have gained their protection through vaccination. And we know from the younger age group, the 18 to 49 age group, the majority of those have a hybrid protection. That's both due to getting the infection and actually vaccination. But the key point here is there are certain high-risk groups. So pending on your age, pending on your underlying medical conditions, those factors put you at higher risk of both getting COVID and severity of illness. Mm-hmm. So it's really, really important to maintain vaccination status for people in high risk, but in all cohorts who are eligible.
And you're also calling out to people who haven't had any vaccination. You want those people to come forward. Do you know how many people are still completely unvaccinated?
So the uptake of our primary vaccination was really good. We had 96.6%, and we compare really strongly with our European counterparts. When we look at the numbers that have had no vaccination, that is roughly between 150,000 to about 200,000. And obviously that number changes with people, you know, new people getting who haven't previously had vaccination, getting the vaccine, also people moving in and out of the country. So it's small numbers, but it's really, really important. And the reason that it's important is when we look at hospital admissions and when we look at people who are admitted to intensive care, there's a percentage of those people that have not had any vaccination. And we are seeing, you know, the impact of that in relation to severity of illness.
Mm-hmm. And when it comes to testing, who's eligible now to get a PCR testing? Because this is your other area of responsibility.
That's correct. So public health update their advice in relation to testing and tracing on a regular basis. And most people will recall early this year in February, a defined cohort of people were eligible for testing. So that was a small group of people, which included people over 55 who hadn't taken their boosters, people with high risk medical conditions, people who are immunocompromised or somebody living with a person who's immunocompromised, pregnant women and healthcare workers. So that was the defined group up until July. Since July, the new public health guidance is the majority of people no longer need a test. So if you have symptoms, you need to avoid contact with other people, stay at home and avoid contact until 48 hours after your symptoms have resolved. The key thing is about breaking the chain of infection. So you don't need a test to tell you that you have something. If you have symptoms, you're at risk of transmitting infection to another person. And the advice is to stay at home and avoid contact with other people.
And if you are a close contact, what's the advice now?
So the advice in relation to close contact is the advice that is on the HSE website at the minute. So if you are a close contact, you if you're a healthcare worker living in a house where you are a close contact, you need to do 3 antigen tests over a period of 7 days. But the key in relation to testing and tracing is that we encourage people to get the vaccinations. Testing is no longer a requirement for the majority of people. And it is, you know, the encouragement that you self-isolate, stay at home, avoid contact with other people, and then
Coming into the new school year now, close contacts of people in school who had a confirmed case of COVID, they got free antigen testing. Is that continuing?
Okay, so the public health advice is that testing isn't required from a public health perspective. We still have the free antigen tests available, and we will be changing that over in line with the public health advice in forthcoming weeks.
Okay, so they may not be available once school restarts.
Yeah, from a public health perspective, you don't need a test. If you have symptoms, you stay at home and you avoid contact.
Mm-hmm. But if you're a close contact, you've said you need 3 tests.
A healthcare worker who's a close contact should do 3 antigen tests over a period of 7 days. That's the current advice.
And they'll get those tests supplied to them.
Yes.
Okay. Eileen, we'll leave it there for now. But thank you very much. It's very valuable information. If people want more information, they can go to the HSE website where it's all out there, isn't it?
HSE Live on 1800 700 700.
Great. That's Eileen Whelan, the HSE's National Lead for the COVID-19 Test and Trace and Vaccination Programme. Thank you for coming in.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.